Has it been a successful year for labor in Western New York, do you think?
Yeah, I think we've done well. The last second half of this year, if we date the year as if it began last Labor Day and it ends, you know, the day before this Labor Day, we had successful collective bargaining negotiations at Kaleida. And let me just linger on that for a moment.
Sure.
7,300 workers, three unions, I don't know how many buildings, very, very favorable agreement.
Largest private employer in Western New York.
Largest private employer in Western New York, and wages that are going to be industry standard. 7,300 workers is the multiplier is about 3.5, Dave, because they have spouses and or children. Comes out to about an average of 3.5 per person. 3.5 times 7,300 is about 25,000 people. And then the Catholic Health is up next. And obviously, if it's a standard, if they get close to it, their wages and benefits will also be elevated. And that's another 3,000 times 3.5. So you could say that it actually impacted well over 35,000 to 40,000 people.
A negotiation is sometimes described as successful if both sides come away
a little dissatisfied.
Exactly. So did you have to give anything up to get?
You'd have to ask the negotiators who were at the table for both parties, and I think they'd tell you that is a correct understanding of how collective bargaining ends up being the most effective. And but I'm not going to speak for those negotiators, except to say that it ratified in a fairly lopsided fashion.
And in this past year, the other big victory that I know you're celebrating during the parade and the Labor Day festivities is the end of a big strike and a protracted disagreement at the Wendt Corporation.
Yeah, that was a two-year effort that was spearheaded by the Ironworkers 576. The Labor Federation, the AFL-CIO in Western New York, was fully behind this. I lost track of the number of demonstrations that we held outside the company, but those men, it's all guys, stuck together. Their union stuck with them, and they ended up with a collective bargaining agreement that will start the union off, I think, on the right foot at Wendt Company.
Most recent bit of news, I think, to come out of the labor movement was the struggle at Spot Coffee. Not maybe as big as Wendt, maybe certainly not big as Kaleida, but I think, and correct me if I'm wrong here, you could argue that that's kind of precedent setting.
It is. We don't know of too many collective bargaining agreements in coffee shops, chains around the country. There are a couple, apparently. There was an effort in Ithaca, New York, that worked. I think in Seattle, but I'm not sure. And now we have here in our city, and it's four stores and about 80 workers. We're very pleased, very proud of the workers there. That was quick. From the time that the campaign began to the successful vote at the National Labor Relations Board, which was a lopsided vote, it was quick. The other thing to note is this is an industry that badly needs wage and benefits improvements. It's generally an industry with young workers. Now, the negatives come up that why should the young workers be in a union and what they're only going to leave anyhow. The same arguments against unionization that were made against the Spot Coffee workers, you can take history books on labor history and look at what they said about steel workers or auto workers in the 30s and earlier. The same arguments were made.
Recognition of a union is only half of the battle. They don't have a contract yet, do they?
No, and I'm not privy to how they're doing at the bargaining table. But you're right. And recognition.
Because if we talk history, there have been occasions where, oh yeah, a union gets in, but then years later, they don't necessarily have an agreement.
Of course, you're right. Those are exceptions. The rule is that negotiations will take place, and the parties will come to an agreement. It may take a while, but we're confident that they'll get a contract.
Let's talk New York State in the past year. Family leave didn't necessarily go through the way a lot of the advocates wanted. Were there setbacks, you think, in Albany?
Yes, there were some setbacks. Overall, we think it was positive that the voting rights were extended. Early voting seems like a good idea to our federation.
Let me delve into that. Mm-hmm. Why do you like that idea?
We're in favor of democracy. We're in favor of people actually having every opportunity to exercise their democratic right to select their political leaders. And anything that does that, we're in favor of. We're also against anything that limits that. Now, New York State didn't necessarily have the kinds of some draconian type of initiatives that we see in some other states of the country. But the extension of the right to vote so that it maximizes the opportunity for ordinary people to get to the to vote, we're in favor of. Period. The end. So we're happy with that. We were disappointed in the prevailing rate not going through. Mm-hmm. Next year's session is not that far away. I'm trying to think of other things, but these were very definite positives.
Do you see wages being the issue in Albany next year?
Well, wages, I mean, we do have a wage problem in the United States, and we would like to see there was a speeding up of the $15 an hour
minimum. Yeah, that's what I'm referring to.
Yeah, that was an important improvement as well. You're talking to somebody who wants to see the working class get as much money in their pocket as possible. The best way to get it in their pockets is through collective bargaining, which means you have to have a union. But the secondary way, of course, is to improve statutory requirements at various levels of government. So we're in favor of both.
If we look at the year in labor as being last Labor Day to this Labor Day, in the middle there last year, there was the Supreme Court case involving
Janus.
Exactly.
Yeah, Janus.
At that time, there was a lot of worry. It was thought that maybe there'd have to be a lot. How did it play out?
It didn't. I can't tell you how it played out across the country because I haven't seen too many studies yet. I know that, and this is somewhat empirical, not complete across the board, but from discussions with the local public sector, they've held their membership. The teachers tell me, the NYSA tells me, that they've lost less than 1% of their members across the whole state. CSEA also reports a very small drop. AFSCME reports a very, very small drop. And in certain bargaining units, like I think the firefighters in the city, nobody. And I think you could probably go from bargaining unit to bargaining unit for CSEA, AFSCME, and the teachers, there's probably plenty of them. Nobody dropped.
As long as we're talking about organizing, how did we do in Western New York? Are there more union members now than there was?
Yes. Yes. This is somewhat because the unemployment has fallen. And it's a trend we've noticed for the last, really, since about 13. It didn't start under the current president's rule. It started at the beginning of the second term of the former President Obama. And the way we can tell is that our Labor Federation is funded by affiliates, and it's based on the membership that they have. And our funding is up a tick, which means that the unions that are seeing an increase in membership are paying an extra what's called a per capita or
sure.
per head.
More money, presumably
because they have
more members.
That's correct.
Okay. Last thing I wanted to touch on, if we're looking again sort of as a year to year, this is a presidential year coming up. Does that kind of change the amount of work, the activism, or do you wait and let that play out on the national level?
No, well, our Labor Federation doesn't make an independent endorsement for president. The individual affiliates make their endorsements, and then the national AFL-CIO will make an endorsement, and that will be based, I'm sure, on consultation with the affiliates. Okay. That's the way it works. Once we know who a candidate is nationally, we'll be working for that person in Western New York, and I anticipate that we'll also do some serious work for Congress and for the State Senate and State Assembly.
Do I dare? Is it proper to put you on the spot? Do you have of the Democrats on that stage right now?
I'm not going to speak to that. I know that all the big affiliates that I've talked to are doing their own internal polling. They're interviewing of those, 20 or so. And by the way, I suppose if President Trump wanted to get an interview, he'd get one with some of them as well. His chances of getting the endorsement,
the overall AFL-CIO,
I think, are quite small. But I suppose it's possible. And the unions do interview people who want to run for president. And technically, he's got to decide he wants to run for president again, and he already has. Mm. But the chances of him getting an endorsement from the national AFL-CIO, I think it's not a stretch to say, are very, very slim.